I'd like to read tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. I think it would be right to say the older one gets, the more time we spend in the Gospels. And you and I have four Gospels to meditate upon. We heard a little about the four Gospels in the meeting this morning, and we're going to consider a few things about the four Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, it's the dignity of the king. You read about his majesty, his dignity, his royalty, his meekness, his power, his authority, and it's the dignity of the king. It's always important to notice how a gospel begins and how a gospel ends. How does Matthew's gospel begin? It begins with the thought of worship. Remember those wise men when they saw the star? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy, but when they saw him, it says, they worshipped. How does Matthew's Gospel end? You turn tonight to Matthew 28 and you read a verse like this. Remember those women? They held him by the feet and they worshipped him. So remember Matthew the king, the dignity of the king. It begins with the thought of worship and it ends with the thought of worship. When I come to Mark's Gospel, it's the diligence of the servant. It's in Mark's Gospel I read a verse like this. He hath done all things well. He maketh the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now, how does Mark's Gospel begin? Mark's Gospel begins with a rent heaven. That word, the heavens were opened. The heavens were rent asunder. And Mark's Gospel begins with a rent heaven. How does Mark's Gospel end? Mark's Gospel ends with a rent veil. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. So remember the rent heaven? The Father's delighted with the Son. The rent veil, God is satisfied with the sacrifice. Come now to Luke's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, I see the dependence of the man. I read about the Lord's private life. I read about his public life. I read about his prayer life. A private life with God. A public life for God. And a prayer life to God is seen perfectly in Luke's Gospel. How does Luke's Gospel begin? Luke's gospel begins with a company of people, and they think the Lord is present, but he is absent. They supposed him to be in the midst. How does Luke's gospel end? Luke's gospel ends with a company of people, and they think that Christ is absent, but Christ is present. But when I come to Luke's gospel, it's the dependence of the man. When I come to John's gospel, it's the devotion of the son. I read about his love for the Father. I read about his love for his own. I read about his love for the house at Bethany. And five times I read in John's Gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's the devotion of the Son. How does John's Gospel begin? John's Gospel begins with the thought that Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How does John's Gospel end? I turn to John chapter 20 and I read the words of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." So what I'm going to speak about for a short time tonight, I'm going to speak about this verse, John 11 and verse 5. Ever notice in your Bible, time and again in one verse, there's three names? You read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's one sermon. You read about Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. You read about Noah, Job, and Daniel. You read about Peter, James, and John. You read about Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And you read about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we've come tonight to John chapter 11, and we read about Martha, we read about Mary, and we read about Lazarus. Now, I'm going to be honest. If I had written this verse, I wouldn't have written it like the Spirit of God wrote it. I would have said, Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Do you notice the Spirit of God doesn't even mention Mary's name? Here's something I got while flying today here. Why did the Spirit of God not mention Mary's name? What marked Mary? Mary anointed the Lord Jesus. Now notice three things. She anointed his head. She anointed his body. And she anointed his feet. If the Spirit of God had said Jesus loved Mary, there might be the thought that the Lord had a greater love for Mary than for Martha and Lazarus. But to prove that the Lord Jesus loved Martha and Lazarus as much as Mary. The Spirit of God says, now Jesus loved Martha, Mary our sister, and Lazarus. Would I be right in saying this tonight? If there had been no John 11, there would have been no John 12. What's John chapter 11? In John chapter 11, it's what the Lord did for the house at Bethany. In John chapter 12, it's what the house of Bethany is doing for the Lord Jesus. There they made him a supper. And I'm convinced of this. If there had been no John 11, there would have been no John chapter 12. Now I'm going to speak about three things tonight very quickly. I'm going to talk about Martha. I'm going to talk about Lazarus. And I'm going to talk about Mary. And I'm going to speak about three subjects tonight very quickly. We're going to notice service in Martha. We're going to notice sitting in Lazarus. And we're going to notice sacrifice in Mary. So three things very easy to remember. If you read John heading in John 11 or John 12, he'll say, witness in Lazarus. And he'll say, work in Martha. And he'll say, worship in Mary. So that's the difference between an Englishman and a Scotchman. John Heading was a good Englishman. Now let's think about service first of all. Why have you and I been saved? You and I have been saved in order that we might serve. But if I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. Service is never the first thing. And I think I can prove that tonight from the Bible. Listen to a few verses tonight very quickly from the Bible. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So you see, worship comes before service. Let me say three things tonight very quickly. People that know God, trust him. There's a verse in Psalm 9 verse 10 says this. They that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. And people that know God are people that trust him. You know, people that know God are people that worship him. You remember Jacob. The God that appeared to Jacob. And the God that answered Jacob, and the God that was with Jacob, was the God that Jacob worshipped. So people that know God, trust him. People that know God, worship him. What I want to emphasize tonight is this. People that know God are people that serve Him. You remember what David says to Solomon? 1 Chronicles 28, is it? Know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. There's a verse in 2 Chronicles 25, is it? It goes like this. Yield yourself unto the Lord. Enter into the sanctuary which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God. What I'm going to do tonight very quickly, I'm going to go through the Thessalonian epistle, and I'm going to notice in every chapter there's a reason for those Thessalonians being saved. And we're going to do it the Chinese way tonight. We're going to start at the back and work forward. We'll start at chapter 5 and we'll work to chapter 1. Why were the Thessalonians saved in chapter 5? Listen tonight to it. God has not appointed you unto wrath, but unto salvation. Now remember this tonight, young Christian. When you read your Bible, remember this. There's a salvation that is past. There's a salvation that is present. And there's a salvation that is future. Salvation that is past. I'm delivered from the penalty of my sin. A salvation that is present. I'm being delivered from the power of sin. A salvation that is future. I'm going to be delivered from the presence of sin altogether. And I believe 1 Thessalonians 5, it's a salvation that is future. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation, a salvation that is future. Come to chapter 4. Saved in order that they might live a holy, a sanctified Christian life. Listen to two verses in chapter 4. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. And in the same section I read a verse like this. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And I'm saved in chapter 4 in order that I might live a sanctified, holy, clean Christian life. When I come to chapter 3, I discover this. I'm saved to suffer. That no man be moved by these afflictions. For hereunto were ye called. What do we sometimes sing? It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? What was the life of the Lord Jesus? A life of sacrifice. A life of service and a life of suffering. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, you and I are saved in order that we might suffer. In 1 Thessalonians 2, you and I are saved in order that we might share a kingdom, the glory with Christ in the future. Listen to what the verse says. It speaks about walking, and it speaks about a kingdom that is yet future. And then I come to chapter 1 and I read a verse like this. They turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. And you and I have been saved in order that we might serve. Let me say this very quickly. God has a path for each one of us to move in. God has a work for each one of us to do. And God has a place for each one of us to fill. You remember what you read about that servant in Genesis 24? I, being in the way the Lord hath led me. You remember what you read about Nehemiah in his book? I'm doing a great work, therefore I cannot come down. You remember what the Lord said about Mary? She hath wrought a good work in me. She hath done what she could. You remember what you read about David? Today thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. You never read about David's seat being emptied. Listen to what the Spirit says. And David's place was empty. You know, a dummy could fill a seat. They sat in Moses' seat, but they never filled Moses' shoes. You and I have a path to move in. You and I have a work to do. And you and I have a place to fill. And like Martha, you and I have been saved in order that we might serve. What's one of the greatest things said about David? Listen tonight to it. David served his own generation according to the will of God, and then David fell asleep. The Spirit says, Martha served. Secondly, very quickly, Lazarus sat. Would I be right in saying this tonight? There's a sitting that's of God. There's a sitting that's not of God. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. I see a sitting that leads to denying. I see a sitting that leads to discouragement. I see a sitting in the Bible that leads to death. But I see a sitting in the Bible that leads to delight. Let's think of those four sittings tonight very quickly. Remember, Peter sat among them. And it led to denying. Ever notice Peter's at three fires in his life? He's at a fire in Luke 22. He's at a fire in John 21. And I read about cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2. At the fire of Luke 22, Peter denies the Lord. At the fire in John 21, Peter dines with the Lord. At the fire in Acts chapter 2, Peter declares the Lord. But there's a sitting that leads to denying. You know, there's a sitting that leads to discouragement. You remember 1 Kings chapter 19, is it? Elijah. He sat down under the juniper tree and he requested that he might die and not live. A sitting that leads to discouragement. You know, there's a sitting that leads to death. You remember 2 Kings chapter 7, is it? Remember those leprous men? Listen tonight to their language. Why sit we here until we die? A sitting that leads to denying. A sitting that leads to discouragement. A sitting that leads to death. But you know, in the Bible, there's a sitting that leads to delight. And I turn tonight to First Song of Songs chapter 2 and I read a verse like this. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Remember once reading about a man that lost his wife. And he had one daughter. And you know, that daughter was everything to the father after his wife died. He would come home from work. The paper was there. The supper was spread, and the daughter and the father would spend a night together in fellowship one with another. But time passed by and things changed. Oh yes, the paper was there. The supper was prepared. But when everything was tidied up in the kitchen, the daughter went up to her own room. This happened for perhaps 2 months. And then father's birthday came. And she came to her father. And she presented to her father a lovely sweater, what she had been working with upstairs. And the father looked at the sweater and looked at his daughter and said something like this. Daughter, it's a lovely sweater. But what a cost, what a cost. The daughter turned to her father, said something like this. Father, that sweater never cost you a cent. And again he looked at the sweater. And he looked at his daughter. And the father said something like this. That sweater cost me many a lonely hour. Have you got the thought? Occupied for him at the expense of being occupied with him. And I'm speaking for myself tonight. And I fear the possibility, as I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, could it be true of me? Could it be true of you? Occupied for him at the expense of being occupied with him. What did John Nelson Darby say? I dread great activity without great communion. What did C.A. Coates say on his deathbed? If I had my life to live over again, I would pray more and I would read less. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Very quickly, Mary sacrificed. Notice three things about Mary's sacrifice very quickly. You know, it was costly. It was criticized, but it was commended. Do you know the cost of Mary's sacrifice? I don't know. Bible says it could have been sold for much. The Bible says it could have been sold for more than 300 pence. The Bible says it could have been sold for 300 pence. And I'm convinced of this. Only Mary and the Lord Jesus knew the true value of the ointment. You remember the words of David? Shall I offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing? Mary's sacrifice was costly. You know, it was criticized. Ever notice Mary's the most criticized woman in the Bible? And do you notice she's always at the Lord's feet? She's at the Lord's feet in Luke chapter 10. She knows the Lord as a prophet. She's criticized by Martha. You read Mark and Luke, and she's criticized by the disciples. Why this waste? And you read John chapter 12, and she's criticized by Judas. What's the most important thing in life? Not what you and I think of ourselves. Not really what others think of us. The most important thing in life is this: what does Christ think of me? And I turn to Luke chapter 10, And the Lord says, Mary has chosen that good part. And I turn to the other Gospels and I read, she has wrought a good work in me. She has done what she could. And I come to John chapter 12. And the Lord says about Mary, against the day of my burying, has she kept this? So remember Martha? She served. Remember Lazarus? He sat. Remember Mary? She sacrificed.
Let's read together in the book of James, please. James chapter 1.